Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
It has now been the official ecclesiastical season of Christmas since December 25th. Today is number 3 of 12. January 6th will be the first day of Epiphany, when we commemorate the arrival of the wise men in Bethlehem. During Advent, we prepared for the Christ Mass celebration of the birth of Jesus. In Advent, we study, reflect, and pray for the coming of Emmanuel. Christmas Day, we encounter, embrace, and enjoy the presence of Emmanuel. During the season of Christmas, we reflect on our blessings as we prepare to live out our response to Emmanuel. We respond to the ultimate gift of Emmanuel through a life of Christian study, action, and fellowship. And right about now, at this very moment, some in this assembly may be squirming in your seats a little bit, as you are aware that I have left out the most primal element of our Christian life as the corporate body of Christ and as individual believers. Please indulge me with your trust and patience a few minutes more that I may redeem myself and serve our time together as I have been called to do. But first, I want to ask you to think of how Christmas has gone for you so far. Did you get all your Christmas presents? Not just the ones that you might have put on a list or requested from a friend or family member, but did you get all of the gifts intended for you this Christmas? Are you absolutely certain that all of the boxes have been opened? You know, just a moment ago, I was ordering out our timeline of how we relate to Emmanuel. Let's start with the name. It is in the prophecies of Isaiah to King Ahaz of Judah. It's in there twice. You can reference Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, and chapter 8, verse 8. And these are referenced as part of the angel's reassurance to Joseph, Mary's betrothed, in Matthew 1:23, and it reads, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. This is the paradigm-crushing reality that God alludes to throughout all Holy Scripture. In Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd. God is with me. God sees to my need for food and water. God shelters me from danger, and God leads me." Psalm 46, verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God." Psalm 111 that we opened with this morning, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." God demands that we know Him and that we respect Him in earnest, not out of fear of calamity, but out of fear of missing the moment. Matthew 28, verse 20, Jesus proclaims, "I am with you always." And in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 to 39, Paul the Apostle exhorts, I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. Emmanuel. God with us. Can we grasp how momentous this event is to the course of human history? But more importantly, have we contended with the enormity of the concept of an all-powerful, omnipotent, always present, always loving God who does not demand that you come before Him, but who has come to us, and who wants us to enjoy Him forever? For those of you like myself who had to endure catechism classes, you remember it was question number one. What is the chief end of man? To know God and to enjoy Him forever. Yes, the God who created all things that exist out of that which was not desires companionship and community with me and with you. We have a God who desires to be very personal. We have a God who already knows all the reasons that He shouldn't hang out with us. But puts all that aside. Has made provision for unrighteous people to stand in the presence of a righteous God. A God, again, all things that are exist because He called them into being, and He did it out of nothingness. And forgive me, I can't get up here and be totally serious the whole time. So I do have a whimsical illustration. It seems that the greatest scientific geniuses of the world got together and they proclaimed to God, we've unraveled your secrets. We have unlocked your knowledge. We have acquired your power. Behold, we shall make a man after our own likeness from mere dirt. And they proceeded with the application of physics and chemistry and nuclear energy. And a man was formed. To which God responded, not bad. Now, make your own dirt. He brought us out of nothing. And made all things. And yet, He is here. He is present. He is with us. He has moved literally heaven and earth and has shaken up hell to be here with us. God does not need anything that we can supply, but He does desire our attention. God has sent the gift, but He does not force us to open it. God is so respectful of our free will that He will allow us to leave the gift under the tree. Or actually, it would be more correct to say, to leave it on the tree. Did we open this gift? Perhaps in the hustle and tumult of family, friends, obligations, social commitments, this box was left for later. Did we encounter Emmanuel? Or did we just sing about him? Did we feel his touch? Or just hear a sermon? Did we walk with him? Or just run ourselves into the ground celebrating the world's nostalgic, vague, non-specific memory of the concept? If you and I had difficulty in committing time to make the connection, I think you can understand how I seemingly forgot to pronounce worship as a central element of our response to the ultimate gift. But you see, it's there. It's just a matter of how we define fellowship and with whom we fellowship. Our fellowship as the body of Christ is not just in the breaking of bread and in enjoying each other's company. It's not just in celebrating each other's contributions, consoling one another, and enduring each other's tragedies. It is embracing the God present with us. Our ultimate worship is to seek Him, enjoy Him, and immerse ourselves in His holiness through the corporate and individual acknowledgement of His presence. Christ's triumphant moment on the cross happened as He pronounced, "It is finished." He breathed his last, and the earth quaked, and the temple veil that separated us from God was torn asunder. Hear this reflection from yesterday's devotion selection from Jesus calling. Jesus saying, "I am the gift that continuously gives, bounteously, with no strings attached. Unconditional love is such a radical concept that even my most devoted followers fail to grasp it, or at least fail to grasp it fully. Absolutely nothing in heaven or on earth can cause me to stop loving you. You may feel more loved when you are performing according to your expectations. But Christ's love for you is perfect. Therefore, it is not subject to variation. What does vary is our awareness of His loving presence." Christ came. Christ is here. Christ is amongst us. God came before us. God loved us so much, He left heaven to be here. He left what was familiar. He left what was great. He left what was royal and majestic and pure to come here to us. And I hope that all of you have been subjected to the same Christmas TV that I have. Otherwise, this next phrase is going to go totally over everyone's head. Because I want to wish upon you to take hold of the presence of Christ. Like Ralphie grabbed his Red Ryder BB gun and enjoy him. God is here with us. He has come to be with us. He has come to bring us together. He has come that we may know Him. He has come to give Himself to us. He has come to offer to us His body. To allow His body to be broken for us. To allow us to partake of His body, that we may be joined with Him, as one with Him, and as one with each other. On the night on which He was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and having blessed it, He broke it. And He said to His disciples, "This is My body, broken for you. As oft as ye eat of this, do this in remembrance of Me." And likewise, after supper, He took the cup of wine, and He lifted it up, and He blessed it, and He said, "This is My blood, shed for the world." And He made a commitment. He said after that, a pledge, "I shall not taste of the fruit of the vine again until I return." A solemn vow given by the bridegroom to his intended betrothed bride. He's coming. Every time we gather and we break bread and we take of the cup, we draw Him into us expectantly as the bride intended would say to the bridegroom, "By taking the cup, we announce that we are His until He comes back, and we await His coming. Come and receive." As you come up, as usual, Pastor Tom and Jennifer will be distributing the elements of bread and wine. And we will also invite you for prayer. And with those I've spoken to about helping with the prayer, come forward and receive. We're going to have multiple stations for prayer this morning. There will be two of us on this side behind the kneeler and two on this side behind the kneeler over here. And if you desire prayer for yourself, for another, if you desire to offer up thanks, if you desire just to get a little bit closer to the gift, if you desire just even the touch of a fellow believer, please, it's yours. It's part of the gift. It is yours.